What a blessing. What a blessing. Came all the way from Columbus and parts unknown. Praise God. Well, Father, we do worship you tonight, and we thank you that by your Spirit of grace, we receive all things. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I'm praying right now that you blanket this congregation, this entire room, with your Spirit, your anointing, your power to deliver and to save and bless, to reveal and illuminate, to take us to a place, Lord God, perhaps we haven't ever been before. Lord, we yield to you in Jesus' mighty name. Again, Lord, thank you for this praise team. We pray your blessings on them, Kenny and Deborah's church, Columbus. Lord God, they're precious, precious friends. God, I thank you for giving us the best friends in the world. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. She's going to, Diane, receive the offering. And going to have some words of wisdom for us all. Diane does a great job receiving the offering for us. Hallelujah. Money coming. Amen.
I have already shared these scriptures with the church, but I'm just going to tell you. These scriptures have so blessed my soul lately. And I just can't get enough of it. And it's in Amos 9, verse 13 through 15. It says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head's going to swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings, blessings. Like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. I'll make everything right again for my people Israel. They'll rebuild their ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. And they'll work their gardens and eat fresh vegetables. And I'll plant them on their own land. And I'll never again uproot them from the land I've given them. God, your God, says so. Y'all ready to get your wine glasses ready? Because we're about to drink some new wine. I am telling you, the Holy Ghost, who is poured out on this place. I'm telling you, since Sunday morning, the glory of God has been poured out over this place. And we are beginning to see things like we've never seen them before. It's a new season. It's a new time. And it's blessings. He says blessings. We receive the blessings. We're under the blessing. We're under the covenant of the blessing. We're under Abraham's blessings. We're blessed going in and blessed coming out. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just praise you and we just thank you for your word. And we thank you for your name. And we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for mercies, miracle mercies, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, wealth and riches are in our house. We have increased the more and the more, us and our children. Lord, I thank you. The blessing of the Lord, it makes us rich, and you add no sorrow to it. We believe that we receive them. We can have whatsoever things we say. And I say we are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You're causing man to give unto our bosoms. Woo, God, I thank you. I thank you, the Holy Ghost, the blessing, the windows of heaven are opened on us. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. God, bless this tithes and these offerings tonight. Lord, 100-fold return. And we thank you. Nothing's impossible with you, Lord. Every need met, nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Be seated, and I have the great privilege of introducing our pastor tonight. Praise God. I think it was our 25th anniversary. I'm not sure if it was yours and Lori's or if it was the ministry. But anyway, Jim and I had a chance to share that night. Sandy and Jerry, y'all were there. And I said, Tracy and Lori, my mother had 8 kids. And she made every one of us feel like an only child. That's how special she was. And she treated us. That's Tracy and Lori. You know, when I'm with them, I think, man, I'm the only one they love. They can't love other people. But I'll assure you, the love of God is in these two. And their saying is, if I make your dreams come true, my dreams will be true. So let's honor Tracy tonight. Let's receive the word. Let's let it land on great ground and meditate on it and meditate on it after and after and after. This praise team has got our cups ready to fill up and run over and flow over. And we're here for until morning if we need to be. Whatever we need, God is here. God is here. Jay God said, I've got some great things for you, my son. He said, be tuned in and tuned up and ready to receive this night. Whoo, I'll take that. I'll take that. Tracy Harris, will you come, please? Let's stand and give him a good, warm welcome.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, let's just give him the one who deserves all praise, all honor, all glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are alive. You are the great King of Kings. We thank you, Master, that you are here. You are present. And you are here with the mighty angel armies. That we are not here by ourselves. And nothing is impossible to them that believe. Father, I'm asking you tonight to help me to help the people. That the word of the living God would go forth unabated by any force. That it would not return to you void, but it would accomplish. Glory be to God. It will accomplish that which you please. It will not return empty. This word is creative, Lord. Mighty in power. Two-edged for penetration. And it will effect healings, cures, wholeness, blessing, prosperity, forward progress, total deliverance from dependency upon this world's system. And we thank you for it. How we thank you for it. How we glorify you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Let's just begin to thank Him here for a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory, 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 glory be to God. We thank you. We thank you. And we bless you. And we glorify you. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and give him a high five and say, you better listen up. Heaven has something for you tonight. Glory to God. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? All the time. Take your Bibles, please, and open them to the book of Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 60. I've known in my spirit on the way here these two meetings would be extremely significant. And we talked last night about a couple of the things, one or two of the very premise of all the things the Lord said prophetically concerning this year and beyond. And there's much there, and it's impossible in any one meeting unless I just systematically read it. And even then, that's a teaching or a hearing, but it's not impartation. And the Holy Spirit has a reason for our gathering tonight. And I knew in my spirit it was larger than just teaching information He had given, downloaded in me to impart to the church. And so I've been a little bit, there's a lot flying around on the inside of my spirit, so. I suggest you don't go in there. You'd have to duck or get hit in the head, Lord. There's stuff exploding. So I'm going to do my best to stay the course with definite aim tonight about what the Lord wants for His people in the church. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to read starting in verse 1. And there may be more than one thing I point out, probably that the Holy Spirit will emphasize, but two things specifically that we'll reference here. He says in verse 1, arise! Now he intends to take the church to a higher place. He intends to take you to a higher place. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, there's something about the glory. We're going to talk a little bit about the glory tonight, because the church has very little understanding of heavenly things. And I sense the anointing to teach, but I don't want to get just lost in that anointing from a teaching flow. I want to carry that prophetic flow, really dealing with the glory because of the manifestations that are available and that I know will begin to happen in this room. But to get where we're going so that we can all get on the same page, it'll help us to know a few things. And so we'll come right back to Isaiah 60, but go with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. And I want you to read with me a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church there at Colossae. Glory to God. And we'll pick up in chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. And he says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled. Now, I'm believing this year that there are some things that's going to come alive in the church concerning the fullness. Amen. We talked about that last night. Amen. And the understanding that we're walking so far below what's already been bought and paid for us to possess in our lives. And so he says here, he says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now this is huge. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. No one can believe for what they don't absolutely know and are fully persuaded it is the will of God. That's why so many people are not restored. Because they have a sin consciousness. And they're looking at what they've done and the setbacks and how far short they've fallen, if you will. I want to talk to you about some spiritual things here, and we'll just lay a track for where ultimately I believe the Lord will take us tonight. But let's read this prayer first. It says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. He's not hiding His will from us. In fact, Ephesians 1 says He's already made it known to us. The will of God has already been made known. Most people are on the wrong side of spiritual things because spiritual things seem so mysterious and abstract to them. They really have not understood that heavenly things are substantive. And they're actually very concrete and more sure to work than natural things. But because we have so little knowledge of that realm, people perish for a lack of knowledge. Amen. And therefore, they don't walk by faith, they walk by sight. Because to them, what they see is reality. Yeah. But the truth is, there are a lot of invisible laws that you function by every day without even releasing any faith at all. Because you're fully persuaded of them. Right. You went through all day. How many of you today had one conversation, one thought, looked up the definition of, or even was on the radar in your daily activities to study the law of gravity? So you didn't exercise any faith whatsoever to keep your feet on the ground. But it's working the whole time. If you don't believe it, go up on that balcony and jump off. No, you won't do that because you fully believe in gravity. How many of you exercised any faith whatsoever that the sun would come up this morning? You're fully persuaded. Those laws have been set in motion by the Word of God. And will be held there and work. It will work. Boy, I'm really drawn right now. Not tempted. Tempted always has a negative connotation. I'm really drawn right now to dig around in this a little while and talk about what God said to His people. We're a lot like that. In fact, it wouldn't harm us to go there. See, I knew when I got here we were going to be bouncing around just a little bit. But we got two openings now, and these aren't the only ones we're going to by far. But I want you to go with me to the book of Jeremiah, and I want to show you something that God's people said during the ministry of Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah chapter 33. And it says this. It says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 19, and I really want you, if you've got a Bible, your life will change tonight if you'll take your Bible out and look in your Bible and follow me. I don't care if you think you know it or not. Most people are living by what they think the Bible says and not what it actually says. If you can't say amen, say, oh me, hallelujah. All right. Jeremiah 33:19, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant. You see the term covenant? Now, whoa. You mean God's got a covenant with the sun? S-U-N, sun? I thought He only cut covenant with people. All right, well, let's settle this. Go back with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 111. Everybody okay right now? Notice what He says in Psalm 111, verse 7. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All of His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Do you see that? He has commanded His covenant forever, holy and reverent in His name. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and so forth. But notice what He said. Your commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. He has commanded His covenant. He just literally said that it's not just the promises and Abraham and cutting blood and animals and all of that that is your covenant. He just said His word is His covenant. Let me show you one more time. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. You see, we've got to come up in our thinking. Our thoughts are so far below His. Now go with me to Psalm 89. Let's just go back there and let's just establish a second verse concerning this. Psalm 89:34. And notice what He says. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. So that means everything that's ever come out of God's lips is covenant. That's why you can stand on it. It's everlasting. Heaven and earth will not pass away until every jot and tittle of this book is manifested in the earth. Because the earth was created by it. There's no mad little rocket man somewhere in Korea that can take us out of here. That's not what's going to end the world. COVID's not going to end the world. Hitler couldn't do it. Mussolini couldn't do it. And little rocket man can't do it. And the dictator of China can't do it. And the president of the United States can't do it. What you worried about? Your way of life has nothing to do with that. You are a believer. You're in this world, but you are not of it. You live in America, but you're not an American. Amen. Oh, come on now. Problem is, people have an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't realize that they're seated in heavenly places. far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. And when you got born again, you died. You ceased to exist. You are a new creature. And this new creature has a name. And this new creature's name is Jesus. And he lives here for a season in a house to conduct dominion and authority and carry out business in this world from another world. There's nothing you're ever going to face has authority over you. Every name in three worlds, seen and unseen, has to bow its knee to the name you carry. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Glory be to God. Woo! Glory be to God. The Lord brought this up to me tonight when I walked in, and we had a little conversation in the back there, and we just thought we might have church all by ourselves. So we heard worship going on, and worship, by the way, was phenomenal. Because the anointing that was in here was bleeding in there, and I heard all of it. Praise the Lord. In fact, I think that's what stirred us up so much, was y'all's worship. But when I walked in, those of you that were here last night, you remember when the Lord asked me to do something I had never done before out of the book of Ecclesiastes? And he said, Lord, I'm praying, set the world in their heart. Well, there's a reason that he asked me to do that. He said, I want you to pick up on that tonight. I want to talk. Where he's taking us, if you have ears to hear it, I'm under the unction. I feel the anointing. And so I'll speak as you're able to hear it. Because there's some things I couldn't communicate you couldn't even hear tonight. And that's okay. But we got to come up. I said, we got to come up. Because if we don't hear it, we can't believe it. If we don't think it's in the Bible, we'll never walk in it. And the thing is, we think somehow that the covenant are just the stuff that we know. We studied covenant and its blood and God gave it prompt. No, every jot and every tittle of this book for everlasting, the authority of the word of God that created the worlds. Now look, we got to go one more place out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So already you've seen his commands are his covenant. They stand fast forever. Have you seen that? Already you've seen my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips, Psalm 89:34. That means everything that came out of his lips is covenant. And when you read verse 35, he says, I swore by my holiness, I will not lie to David. That's how David was guaranteed to take Goliath's head off. He went at him with the covenant. He said, you're an uncircumcised Philistine. And the things that have come out of God's lips weren't about you, Goliath. They were about me, and I know how this turns out.
Right. Amen.
Oh, come on now. Woo. Are y'all getting a hold of anything already? See, these are things that are critically important because we built our life on a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, a lot of religious tradition. And it's why miracles aren't consistent in the house of the Lord, and they ought to be pervasive every day in every believer's lives. Daily, he loads us with benefits. We are not waiting on God to move some mysterious way and finally do his word. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have something for you tonight by the Holy Ghost, and I'm not to give it right now, but don't let me, if I get lost over here in the Spirit somehow, don't let me forget it. Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's just stay in the word a little bit, okay? Now, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. That's a law from the book of Deuteronomy, which is why in a service you interpret the flow of the Spirit not by saying, as many people do, they read and they get so legalistic, we've had three prophecies, can't nobody else speak? That's not what that says in 1 Corinthians 14. Not a clue. He said everybody can prophesy. They can speak in turn. When you come to a believer's meeting, everybody has something. And I wish that were true in today's church.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay, let me try that over here. See, really, people don't come to church with something anymore. They don't even know they're supposed to. They come to suck. And then we wonder why. The atmosphere goes... Because we carried all that other stuff in here with us. Like a black hole. Oh, I'm so needy and I don't know where my rent's coming from. It's because they don't know. They don't know the covenant. They don't know who they are. They're walking by sight. And so they look in the mirror and reject the very thing that's fearfully and wonderfully made. That he's shed blood over. Numbered the hairs on your head. guaranteed that when the day that you saw the light of day, there was an angel in that birthing room that was attached to you from that very day. That angel always beholds the face of your Father in heaven. Glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, I love Psalm 31:15. My times are in your hands. Woo, somebody shout it right now. I'm not afraid. My times are in his hands. Woo, glory to God. Say it again. I'm not afraid. My times are in his hands. Psalm 27:11 says, Lord, lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. Say, I'm not afraid of my enemy. Because God's already led me in a plain path. I steer clear of what the enemy's trying to do to me. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Surely the net is spread in vain in the sight of any bird. I see the enemy trying to trap me. I'm not falling in the pit. He'll fall in the pit he dug for himself. I know how this turns out. The dust settles and I win. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near me because I have a covenant with the Creator of the universe. Woo! Glory to God. If y'all live long enough to see me leave this planet, just know I was finished. I didn't go early. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. We'll work our way backward toward Isaiah 60, it looks like tonight. It's kind of like a race. We started from the finish line, I suppose. Book of Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read this in the Amplified Classic. It says, in many separate... Well, I'll tell you what, I'll read King James first. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, follow me. This is huge. This is so big. If folks could get a hold of this. It says, God spoke to the fathers of the faith through the prophets. And now I will not alter my covenant. I will not break my covenant, nor alter the thing that's come out of my lips. That means everything those prophets said was covenant.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I just want you to track with me here for a second. You see this? This is huge. No wonder Acts 3:20 and 21, actually, let's just quote three verses. Can you just let me quote you three verses and you just kind of take it in? I'll try not to quote it real fast. I just want you to get it. It's familiar verses to you, but sometimes we hear them, we just say, oh, I know what that says. It says in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, and your sins will be blotted out, and times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send, verse 20, Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Which means something's got to be preached before it can be sent. Oh, come on now. That's why he's asking me to preach this. He intends to do some things. Tonight he wants to do some things. And then by verse 21, he says, whom the heavens must retain or receive and retain. So we see in Acts 3:20, he will send Jesus Christ, whom before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive and retain until the restitution or the restoration of all the things that God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. That's what's holding Jesus up. That's the sum total of this thing. Everything God's ever spoken is his covenant. It stands fast forever, and it will come to pass before heaven releases Jesus to come and get us. Somebody said, well then you're just preaching kingdom now. That means the earth's going to get better and better, and there's no rapture. No, that's a heresy. It is a lie that there's not a rapture of the church. You say, well, how can that be? What you're saying, if everything's got to be restored, well, everything means everything. Everything God has spoken. And God spoke that Jesus was going to rapture the church. The rapture's part of the restoration. The rapture's part of the promise that everything that looks like is not working will be changed in a moment. And sudden miracles are going to manifest the glory of God. Just like He promised, no matter what it looks like. He's coming back to get us. Rapture is going to happen. How do I know? God spoke it. He said He was going to do it. So that's a part of the covenant. It's not like kingdom now. We're going to get better and better. And if we walk in full dominion, we're going to make the planet. And you know, no. This planet's irreparable. It's going to melt with fervent heat. It can't be fixed. And the only thing holding it up is you and me. We're salt and we're light. If we weren't here full of the Holy Ghost, it would already have been gone. Man's sin so deteriorated it that had he not redeemed them and cut a covenant, man would have been wiped out long ago. We wouldn't even exist. It took the devil hundreds of years to teach Adam how to kill himself. It did. This is why lifespan went the way it went. That's why he lived nearly a millennia. He had such divine life in him. You know, it's like Dad Hagen. He was healed, and I know this firsthand. I talked to the daughter and all of that. So Miss Pat's in. So I mean, I've got it firsthand. Okay, the story of what happened in that room. But bottom line is he was healed at 15, 16 of that incurable heart disease. And he carried that up into his 80s as he ministered under that anointing all those years, Mark 11, 23 and 24. And when he left his body, he was gone from that body for days. I mean, he was already in heaven, and his heart wouldn't stop. His heart would not stop. And so the Lord, what do we do here? We don't, you know, they're not going to pronounce him dead. We're not going to throw him in the ground with his heart beating, and yet he's not here. He's gone. And the Lord spoke to them and said, go in there with Mark 11, 23 and 24 and turn his heart off. Wow. That's what started it. And it wasn't going to stop. Wow. See, the spirit in your body is what's making your body function. That's exactly. That's the reason it gets healed, divine life. Healing doesn't come from the outside in. Healing's not a physical thing. Come on now. Healing is a spiritual property. And that's why so many people do without it so much. Because they're trusting in all the natural stuff and reading all the numbers. And you say, well, how do you know? Because you know, you can follow their Facebook post in a physical fight. And they'll say, today we're playing over the blood pressure. And then tomorrow they'll post something and say, we believe in God for the blood pressure to go down. And you know, it's like a detailed play-by-play. Well, now either they're healed or they're not. And I don't have to take communion over every time that little machine spikes. Come on now. I mean, I had my 80-year-old father-in-law. We went and took communion with him because he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And so I got before the Lord and I said, how do we deal with this? They've been healed many times. I said, how do I deal with this? And we got over, they wanted to take communion with us. And so we did. And so I went in there, and I saw it. The Lord spoke to me just as clear as a bell out of John 15. And He said to me, every plant out of Matthew 15 that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. And then He took me to John 15 about the branches. And He said to me, He said, every branch that beareth not fruit, He'll prune it. And this wasn't fruit from God. And the Lord spoke to me. And He said, when you take communion over this thing, He said, all they're going to do in that operation, when they get in there, it'll be dead hanging there, and they're just going to prune it. Mm-hmm. And so the doctor was a nominal believer at very, very best. I won't tell you what denomination makes some folks mad, but I mean, you know, he just, if he knew God, it was in tongue only, pretty much.
Yeah.
He came out. My father is 80 years old. They cut him from here around here to get in there to do that lung thing. And he got in there, and when he came out and talked to the family, and I'm getting to a point, obviously, about this other deal. But when he got in there, he came out, and he said, talked to the family, and he said, it beats anything I ever saw. I don't know what we saw. All I know is when we got in there, there was a little something hanging there, and it was dead, and I couldn't tell what it was, so I just cut it, clipped it, he's going to be fine. Amen. But you see, here's the deal. When we took communion over that thing and we got that word about it being pruned, it was done then. It was dead that day. Now, they got another report between us taking communion and surgery, and they got something and called me and said, hey, we want to take communion again. I said, no. I'm not taking communion over that. It was done back here. It sure is quiet in here. I'm talking about spiritual things now. See, you got to get your mind renewed to spiritual things. The reality, the truth of it, not the facts of it, the truth of it. Facts change. Truth stands forever. Truth will make you free. Glory be to God. It's a two-edged sword that will cut that guts out of that thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sure enough, it was just like the Lord said, but I would not take communion with them again over that, because we don't have to pray over every little report. In fact, the Bible says don't even think on it. It says think on these things, whatever's lovely and of a good report. Problem is, folks are meditating on the bad report, trying to fix it and use their faith, when really what they're dealing with is fear. But they're deceived that they think they're in faith, but they're in mental assent. So they mentally, right? But the memory of a potato won't nourish you. You can learn these scriptures I'm quoting, and you can quote these scriptures. That doesn't mean you've got a fresh faith, that you're operating out of revelation. Faith is a spiritual force. Glory be to God. This is huge. And with Dad Hagin, literally, what the point I'm trying to make is that that was operating after his spirit left his body. It's the spirit that keeps the body alive. That word that he had put in there all of those decades kept that heart beating. Boom, 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 boom. I had to turn it off, because the very life that was in that faith of that word he'd put in there all those years just kept his heart beating till they did, till they turned it off. Glory be to God. But you see, he walked in a different place. And it shows that it's attainable, but I know very few people that ever walk there, in that place, where they don't have a headache for 50 years. So you can't get condemned about this. We're going to have to be open, because God's trying to bring us up. He wants us well. Church is too sick. Church is trusting in too many natural things. Glory be to God. And the healer's in the house. Hallelujah. The healer is in the house. You sense that? Just go on and take yours. There's a table prepared for you before the presence of your enemy. Just say, pass me another bowl of that divine health, please. I believe I'll have another helping of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just put both hands right there and say, body, be strong. Tell it, be strong. You're not weak. You're strong. Praise God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. As your days are, so shall your strength be. Moses died at 120 and his eye wasn't dim. His strength not abated. A lot of people think they're weak because their body feels weak. That doesn't make you weak. You're strong. You're strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. You're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Glory be to God. He'll infuse strength in your inner man from the riches of his glory by his spirit. But you've got to learn, these are spiritual commodities, and it is your spirit that's causing your body to stand up.
Amen.
And your words, you're created in the image of God. So your words are what carry that force, right? They're the buckets. They're the containers. It's so important to know this. In fact, let's go back and look at this. Now, that means then that according to Acts chapter 3, verse 21, everything God has said from the foundation of the world must be restored and come to pass before Jesus comes. Amen. Now, I don't have time to get into teaching about the rapture and the second coming and all that. Those are two different things. The rapture is not the second coming. Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody understands. All right, now, so they get their eschatology all messed up because they pick and choose and don't put it in context and don't have proper teaching. And you'd have to understand spiritual things to get it lined out right in the book. That's why people are so confused. And so as we see this now, Notice what he says here. This is huge. God, right here, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go back to it, because I want you to see this. He says, in sundry times, divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Hallelujah. Whom he has appointed heir of how many things? Who? All things. Say all things. Say it again. By whom he made the worlds, plural. He didn't just make the seen world and the unseen world. He didn't just make the physical planet and Pluto and Jupiter and all that. He did, but he made the worlds, the successive ages. That's what Hebrews 11 is actually about. When you get in Hebrews 11:3, it tells us, for now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And the world there in the Greek is eons or ages. And then he's got a whole list of people that generation after generation took a word from God and shaped their world. You see, we're not just talking about the physical planet now. We're talking about Abel changed his generation. And Noah changed his generation. And Abraham changed his generation. And it's a relay race where they got a word from God and shaped their age based upon the power of that word to conform what experience they had in their generation. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Come up now. Come up. Been barraged so much by this liberal, all this. I can't say it that way. I'm going to not say it that way. Let me just say, I'm going to, only because people don't know who I am. I'm not homophobic. I'm not racist. I'm not, Jesus is the most tolerant, most accepting, receiving individual. I have never known a human that's as approachable, as tolerant, and as loving, no matter what condition a person in. As Jesus is.
That's right. Exactly right.
I'm not intolerant. But the thing about Jesus that's different than the world is that Jesus accepts you exactly like you are. But he has the power not to leave you that way. He'll take all the stuff that's make you all confused about who you are and totally deliver you, help you, and restore the original destiny he had for you as if none of that ever happened. But people are so confused about their identity that the church has bought, they don't even know that they've bought a lie. They're reading statistics. They're following politics. It's even on all the Christian news outlets. And they're being told, well, this is the last days. I mean, they don't know anything about the covenant. And so they're like, well, it's the last days and it's dark and we're here and God said these things are going to happen. And there is zero, and when I say zero, zero resistance to the spirit of Antichrist in the church almost. Because they're sitting coming to church just trying to make sure their kids are okay. And boy, I sure hope I'm praying, God, don't let my kids go that way. And don't even realize the reason we are born right now is to take a word from God and shape a generation.
Yeah.
It's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. Lord said to me within the last 5 years, he said, there is a harvest in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there is an intercession that will bring them out. And he took me back to Abraham interceding. He got his whole family out of that mess. And I'm telling you, the church is about to see some of the greatest wholesale deliverances you ever imagined. He's going to bring people. You thought they were dead and gone. You thought it was hopeless and impossible. We're about to see some astonishing miracles of restoration. We're about to see the most sudden, miraculous turnarounds in people. And suddenly they're going to come to their self. Glory be to God. Come up out of the pig pen and come home where they knew they were always supposed to be. Woo! Great mercy miracles. Great mercy miracles. Great mercy miracles. For he will not alter his covenant. Not one word of his that he's spoken will fail. Heaven and earth will pass away before the word of God will fail. I'm telling you, we are standing on something eternal and rock solid. We cannot lose with what we use. The miracle creating, awesome, mighty, resurrecting God is in the house. And he's alive in you. Satan doesn't have a chance. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Are you going to win this? Yes! 1,000 times yes! Absolutely. Which means this. Yeah, I'm on it. So now would be the time. The Lord spoke to me in the room today, something I had never really dealt with before. It's Mark 15:23. And I want to show you something here real quick, because we're going to let the Holy Ghost do his thing, all right? Mark 15:23. And I want you to bring it up, please. Mark chapter 15, verse 23. This is a story or a verse about Jesus on the cross. And it says they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. But look what it says. What does it say? Say, what does it say? Does anybody know why? Because that was a mixture that was like the drug of their day that would take the edge off the pain. He was our substitute. He would not take drugs to numb the pain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He would not, which means he suffered the rejection. He suffered whatever else, the accosting, the molestation. He suffered everything any human ever could suffer, and he bore the full brunt of the pain of loneliness and isolation, and he didn't have to take alcohol or cocaine or meth to numb it. And he said, I paid the price for every drug addict to be delivered. I paid the price for every alcoholic to be delivered. I took their pain so that they not only don't have to take the mess to cover up the pain, I'm going to deliver them from the consequences of those things. I'm going to restore them like it never happened. Glory be to God. We have authority over this demon of drug addiction. We've got authority over this spirit of alcohol. We've got a glory to God. And you're about to see some of the most spectacular deliverances in your life and ministry. Stand up. The miracle working power, the working of miracles. There it is right there. Whoa. Yeah, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In that name, above every name, demons are going to scream and leave. They're going to manifest in the altar. It's okay, let the religious people go, because I'm going to fill up your house. I'm going to fill up your house. Revival's on the way. Get ready, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody say they're coming. Say it again, they're coming. They're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I hadn't forgotten. The Holy Ghost sure hadn't forgotten where we are in this track. We'll pick it up. We'll work our way back. But I got to say something right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I want to say to you what the Spirit of God said to me concerning this restoration. It's huge. In the book of Ezekiel 34, I was stepping up in Naples, Florida, as we were starting the year 21 Days of Glory, and I was about to preach that night, and the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, this is my word. This is what I'm doing in the earth. And I want you to look at what it says. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12. This is a word from God through the prophet. This is covenant. It's about to happen, Brother Jimmy, in this church.
Amen.
To your church. Yes. He gave me two verses for you today, and this is the first one. Glory be to God. Number one, verse number one, Ezekiel 34:12, and it's about to happen all over this county.
Yes.
It's about to happen all over North Mississippi.
Yes.
It's about to happen in every pastor's church that's here. If you have ears to hear it and a heart to believe it, you can speak it and rise up with it, and you're about to see it happen. Glory be to God. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. They're coming. Said they're coming. Don't believe that lie you're hearing on the news feeds. Don't watch so much news. Get off of that trash. It's lies. It's demonic lies. This is the truth right here. I'm telling you, they're coming from the north. They're coming from the south. They're coming from the east. They're coming from the west. But to activate the spiritual laws that will manifest it, there has to be faith. We cannot take this sit back and wait. God said revival's coming position. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up from the circumstances. Come up out of the depression. Come up out of this thinking. Stop being so suppressed by the spirit of Antichrist. You're listening to too many false voices. You're watching too many demon-inspired, seducing spirits, so-called prophets. Rise up, saith the Lord. Stand strong in your covenant. Woo! Glory to God. Here's the other verse God gave me for you, Brother Jimmy, and it's for every church in the room. The book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get ready, because there's some things and some track that you have laid over the 40 plus years that you've been in the ministry and established this work, and the Lord wants you to know that this is headed your way in Jesus' name. It says in verse 12 of Isaiah 58, "And they that shall be of thee shall build old waste places and shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." It's happening. Things you dreamed when you started this church all those years ago are about to come to pass suddenly. What happened with Zerubbabel is about to happen with you and your seed seed. You'll see. His hands have laid the foundation. His hands will see it finished by the grace of God. Despise not the day of small beginnings. There's certain things that are paths that the enemy's attacked. He's attacked critical people. He's attacked leadership, folks that got really basically their AWOL. Spiritually, they're AWOL. God assigned them to a post and they left their post. Yeah. But I'm telling you, he's going to send you both restoration and original troops, replenishment of fresh troops. And in the name of Jesus, you're about to see a turn and it'll start coming. In 2024. So you guys need to pray about a reinvigoration, a strengthening. Because it's coming on the inside of your lives, both physically and financially and in every other way. But the administration, such astonishing miracles of restoration, this church and your lives personally will not even be recognizable if you will trust me. I hear the Lord saying, if you'll believe me, if you'll believe the word of the prophet, your life will revolutionize before the dawn of 2025. 2025, I hear the Lord saying, there's some things that look like they have died and they'll come alive by 2025. That's a word I want. I receive that now. You receive that, Brother Kenny? Right now. In the name of Jesus. Wow, glory to God. Wow, glory to God. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Holy Ghost hadn't forgotten where we are. We're on this third witness here. Praise the Lord. We're on this third witness that his words are his covenant. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's just establish that here out of Hebrews chapter 1. It says Jesus was the heir of all things. He was appointed heir of all things by whom he made the worlds. Glory be to God. Do you see this? He inherited the worlds. The worlds. That means there are at least three worlds, heaven, earth, and under the earth. But then the successive ages, world without end, that's what it's talking about here. He inherited both. Actually, he inherited the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth. It's all in that name. You say the height, yes. The depth, yes. What is that? He went to the lowest hell. He took the keys and ascended to the highest heaven. He went to the lowest depth and supernaturally conquered it and made it his possession and brought the keys of it and led captivity captive to the highest height and sat down in the work where they should have been all along, restoring their destiny. And he did it to the breadth, which means he didn't just do it for Israel. He did it for the whole world, every nation. He's the God of the whole earth. And he did it to the length, which means once it was done, he's done it for the ages, age without end. So yes, he went to the depth, the height, the breadth, and the length. All of it is inside of him. That's what Ephesians 1 says. Everything in heaven, he took that and put that in Christ. Everything in earth, he took that and put that in Christ. And once he got in there, everything we were supposed to have access to, he took us and he put us in there. You know, Moses, it says, this is huge. When Moses went to deliver the nation of Israel, he had a national ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He had a national ministry. He had an assignment to deliver a nation. Why is it we don't process these things? Do we think that God has changed? I'm telling you, he's releasing a spirit of deliverance. A new generation of deliverers is being born. And it says when he was in the wilderness, it says, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart. If God can put a nation in your heart, can he not put the world in your heart? The King of Kings lives in there. We must have what we talked about last night. And I'm going there when we get back to Isaiah 60. But we must have such a divine influence of the Holy Ghost by revelation that our heart gets enlarged. Exceeding much. Now I know you got a great ministry, great footprint, great influence. But you realize there's room inside you for a whole lot more people. That's what shepherds do, they carry them. Quit trying to get them to come and get them in your heart first. They'll come by course. I turned around and I heard this phrase just as clear as a bell. Spend more time with him than them. As much as you love the people, shepherd ought to smell like sheep. But you're always trying to, it's like Play-Doh, it's just. But see, if you spend all your time with them, instead of you enlarging them, they'll contain you. You gotta be so big up here that when you walk in there, it overwhelms their smallness. And it takes them up out of that stuff. That's what the anointing is. Am I helping anybody? That's how Jesus was. He walked in the madman of Gadara, had 6,000 demons in him, and they started, wow! Because he was bigger than the whole country. He had the spiritual capacity with one command to cast out 6,000 demons at once. Think of the spiritual capacity of a human. This guy wasn't even born again. And he had 6,000 demons that trafficked in his life, and they couldn't kill him. They killed the pigs. They couldn't make him commit suicide because he wouldn't. That means the human will can resist 6,000 demons at once. And not even be born again. You have any idea what kind of dominion you actually have? We got to know who we are. Woo! We got to find out who we are and what we've been made in Him. Hallelujah. 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 All right, well, it seems like the Holy Ghost is intent on this. He wants this third thing in there, so let's deal with it. He says, who being the brightness of His glory, verse 3. Do you see this? Being the brightness of His glory, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now look, upholding all things by the word of His power. Do you see that?
Yeah.
See that phrase? Upholding all things by the word of His power. Notice He didn't say the power of His word. If He said the power of His word, that would indicate that there's power in His word. But He didn't say that. He said the word of His power, which means His word is His power. Which is why Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there's power. When the king gives a command, there's no appeal system. Okay, I'm trying over here. See, our problem is when folks come in, the spirit of our nation has gotten in them and they don't understand it. When they walk through that door, we're not a democracy. You don't get a vote, but the problem is you think you do. And you think you have a right to have an opinion about how long the service ought to go. And if the preacher's really, boy, I came to hear something else. I don't know why he's talking about this world in my heart stuff. That, I need to pay my rent. I can't figure out the world in my heart. The Word will create it all. If you just had an idea, this is what Jesus said when He walked up to the well, Jacob's well, and He's talking to this Samaritan woman. She had been married 5 times. Now don't tell me that Jesus doesn't recognize marriage. He does. Because He recognized she's married 5 times. And He said, the man you're living with now is not your husband. Which means living with somebody is not being married. And if you're married more than once, He recognizes those marriages.
Right. Come on.
I'm talking about Jesus now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know what He said to her? Of course, she said, come see a man told me everything I ever knew. I perceive you're a prophet. He said to her, if you knew who you were standing in the presence of, you wouldn't be offering me a drink. You'd be asking for me to give you one.
That's right.
Woo!
Come up.
Now, that's exactly the state of the church. He walks in the room. And nobody even knows what they're in the presence of. That's why they're not drinking. That's why the Holy Ghost is not flowing. That's why there's not miracles. There's no expectation. No awareness that the King of Kings is literally listening to everything I'm saying and sent me to say it with a host of an angel army to carry it out.
Amen.
Now, I want to read this in the Amplified Classic because this will tell you about the Word, the commandment, which is the Word. He says, He is, verse 3, Amplified Classic, the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying a radiance of the divine. He's the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Upholding, now listen now, upholding, maintaining, and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power.
Amen. Wow. What a mighty God.
That means He has a covenant with the Son.
Yeah, that's right.
His word stuck it there.
That's right.
Glory be to God.
Yes.
So they can say all they want about it having a lifeline, or it'll burn out, and light years, and you know, stars implode, okay, fine, but not till this word's done, because
right.
It's shining, because He put it there with His words.
That's, right.
That's where all light came from.
Right.
Light be. His word created light.
Yeah.
Yes. Glory be to God. His word is light. And that light is the life of men. And there wasn't anything made that was made without Him. For by Him all things are made. That means it's impossible for any new thing to be made in our lives without a word to make it. So this is why it worked for Jesus. He only said what he heard his Father say. So when he walked by that fig tree, he said to the tree what he heard the Father say to it. Sudden miracles. Why? Because he didn't go read somebody else's book to it. Secondhand revelation. Bunch of words. No. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
His word was a covenant.
Right.
And it came from an authority of the world that made that tree. The one who created that tree, spoke to that tree. It's time for you to start speaking to some things in your life.
Yeah.
I love what it says in Micah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, arise, contend with the mountains, let the hills hear your voice. This covenant's voice activated. We not only have what we say, but we're having what we've said.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is critically important. It is very, very important. Amen? And so as we see this, then we see his commands. The word is the covenant, right? So I want to go back through Colossians because I kind of left you hanging there, but I want to talk about spiritual substances and take just a few minutes out of Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this now. For Colossians chapter 1, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. In all wisdom and what? Say spiritual understanding. Say it again. Say it one more time. Now, we need to see then that there's spiritual understanding and there's natural understanding. You see that? Now, what is spiritual understanding? Well, people think it's spooky and mysterious. It's not. Spiritual understanding is simply understanding about spiritual things.
Yes.
How it works, how the covenant works, how faith works. And that takes revelation because you don't know how. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but then there are ever the ways of death. He said that the children of Israel saw his acts, but Moses knew his ways. God has ways, and his ways are above ours, and his thoughts are above ours. And there are laws that govern miracles. Hallelujah. And they work even more surely for eternity than gravity. And gravity works all, why? Because his word, right, created gravity. But what's the use of having gravity when the earth melts with fervent heat? Boom, I bet gravity goes away. And evidently his word supersedes gravity because we're going to be snatched out of here in a moment. Just like that. And gravity isn't going to hold us. It's a greater law. But it's a law. Glory be to God. Are you seeing this? His word, he covenanted with me then in a moment like that, in a twinkling of an eye. Woo, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And the only reason it hadn't happened yet is I got a job to do. Right? Because if that full resurrection power came now, I couldn't stay in the planet. Neither could you. You'd get your glorified body out of here, you go. And so we need to operate under these bursts of resurrection power to get done what we're assigned to do in the earth. It's what the anointing came to do, to destroy the works of the evil one. Glory to God. To go all the way back to the beginning and deliver people. Set things right. We have something on us, the devil. We are the devil's worst nightmare. Dear God, he doesn't want to see us coming. And every time our eyes flutter in the morning, demons start screaming, my God! Pastor Jimmy's awake! Pastor Jimmy's awake! Why do you think he's firing shots at you? You fought in Vietnam, you get it. But you got superior firepower. I mean, you're the gunner. What are you talking about? Keep throwing lead at him. He'll duck, he'll run, he'll cut and run. He is a quitter. He is a coward. He fights from the bushes. He does not have any substance. He has no staying power. Your heavenly Father hadn't planted this. It is rooted up. And what my Father hadn't planted shall be rooted up. But what's born of the Spirit overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And you got a shield that'll quench every fiery dart of the foul, wicked one who's already already crushed. Your Lord has the keys. He's the Lord God advocate, general. He has command authority in three worlds. And he said, use the name, use the blood, use the word. He'll cut and run and get your job done. Glory to God. You carried that. You backpacked that in the jungles of Vietnam. You know what it's like. You put that thing together in the dark. Keep throwing lead at him. Keep throwing lead at him. Keep throwing it at him. He's cutting. He's ducking. He's running. Keep making him run up on that sword. When you get that sword in his belly, twist that thing. Woo! By his stripes. You were not going to be, not even are. You were healed. Woo! 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 Glory. Y'all don't watch out. I'm going to have church all by myself. I had one designated runner last night. I feel a little bit like running, but running and preaching doesn't work real well at the same time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm just going to tell you, if I was ever a character in a Disney film, my name would be Old Yeller. Because I'm going to shout it from the housetop. Jesus is Lord. His name's above every name. You can't lose with what we use. Come on, church. Stand up and find out who you are. Woo! I was born to be a preacher. Woo! Hey! I don't do this because I couldn't do something else. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm assigned to this job from another world. Woo! I didn't come at you tonight from a hotel room. Woo! I didn't carry in here stuff you see. Don't let these clothes fool you. I am not here by myself. Glory be to God. Woo! I hope you're taping this. I'm gonna buy it. Listen to it. Glory to God. Woo! Woo! It's stood me up on the inside. It's standing me up on the outside. It's standing me up on every side. Yes. Glory is the word of the living God. Woo! His covenant is established forever. Yes. Hallelujah. It's taken me a number of decades to start using my faith. Because, you know, faith doesn't work on what you don't desire. You know, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. And I don't desire to ever stop preaching. So my faith hasn't really worked well on short messages. And I've always believed people were lying. Because somehow they bought the lie that short is good. Well, then why are we going to heaven forever?
Right.
If short's good, just go on and kick off now and just don't want anything else. With all that music so loud. Well, then don't go to heaven. Heaven's the loudest place I read about. Way louder than Oklahoma, Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you got a problem with loud, there's only 30 minutes in all of eternity. Anybody going to be silent? I mean, God, it doesn't say, oh, when Gabriel steps out on that cloud and blows that horn. The Bible doesn't say an angel going to blow that horn. It said the trump of God shall sound. I wonder what a trumpet sounds when God blows it. Woo! Da-da-da! And I mean everybody, poo, out of here. Yeah. I'm talking about, you know, if you dig a hole straight down, will you wind up in China? I'm not sure about that. But what I do know is if they're on the bottom of the world and he blows it from the top of the world, they're going to hear it down there. They're coming out of there. They're coming to meet him in the air. Glory to God. And the earth won't matter and gravity won't matter and darkness won't matter. Glory be to God. He can speak. He did it with Peter. The voice of his majesty that came from his excellent glory. Woo! Glory to God. He has a way of shouting inside of you. Nobody else hears it, but man, your toes hear it.
Yes, sir.
Woo! It has such command authority.
Right.
I'm telling you, boom. It's like a lion putting his face to the ground and roaring so that everybody miles away knows he's in the territory. Oh, the lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring tonight. The lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring tonight. I don't know what he's doing in you, but he's roaring in my heart. He put the world in my heart. Hey, listen, I'm glad I'm preaching here, but the world is my pulpit. Whew. Did you hear what I said? I'm glad I'm preaching here, but the world is our pulpit. I said the whole world is our pulpit. You can see the world from here.
Right.
All right. All right. So, whether you know it or not, I have been using my faith of late, believing God for wisdom and the ability to quit. At the right place and the right time. So I just want to give you hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have hope, you won't believe I'll quit. So. And since I don't want to quit, I'm seriously questioning, is my faith working right now? But I do want to obey, because he's more interested in getting something to you, because your faith is high from the word, right? There is impartation. It's already happened. Whether you know it or not, it's already been happening in the room. How many of you, something has happened on the inside of you since you've been here? How many of you literally feel like something in you just stood up? It's just lifted you up. It's just set you up out of some stuff. I see it happening in you. It's happening in you from the first word. And it's enlarging you on the inside. It's bringing you up to a different place. God has plans. He wants to bring you on up into some things. He has bigger plans for you than you've ever dreamed. And that anointing's in this room right now. Glory be to God. Your miracles, your future, the destiny of your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See it and embrace it. Run toward it. Glory to God. See it and embrace it. Run toward it. I said, see it and embrace it and run toward it. I said, see it and embrace it and run toward it. Glory be to God. Don't leave here the same. Make a decision. This is a divine moment. I'm colliding with the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, you're the church, your ministry, it is never going to be the same after tonight. It is impossible for it to be the same. The Lord's going to visit you and teach you some things about how this works. It'll be a decade of deliverance. You'll see. Say, at the Spirit of grace, the glory of God's going to start coming in that house. I'm telling you, it'll be, oh, glory to God. It'll be one of the lights. It'll be the place to go. People, North Mississippi is about to change. There's going to be lights. I see lights. This is a light right here. There's a light over in Houston. There's a light in Calhoun City. I see it by the Holy Ghost. And people are going to just get by word of knowledge. If you can just get there, every time you go there, you can get your miracle. If you can just get there, the Lord, there's something happening there. The Lord is there. If you can just get there, your world's going to change. And they're going to fall out speaking in tongues in the parking lot by their car. Glory to God. You see what I'm talking about? You better listen to what I'm saying to you. The glory of God, a glory storm is on the way. I see it. I see a wave coming straight at Oklahoma. I see it in my spirit. I told you that back here. I see it right now. Don't get caught in the lull of what you're sensing right now. You're in the trough of an incoming wave. Hallelujah. So don't stay down there, because it's going to overwhelm you. Ride that thing up to the top. It's coming. Surf that thing to the shore. I'm telling you, what you believed God for decades is finally here. Do not be deceived. It is hurtling towards you like a comet from outer space. A glory storm is coming. Glory be to God. Revival's coming to North Mississippi. I say in the name of Jesus, there'll be a reset in the economy of North Mississippi. I say the spirit of poverty comes off the partners and the tithers and the churches. I say the income comes up. It comes up in Alabama in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It comes up in Tennessee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory be to God. There's shockwaves from the epicenter, and it's going to rattle out into all your cities. It's going into all your churches. It's here right now. Now, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woo! It's what the Lord said to me. He said to me, son, November the 15th, I was awakened. Romans 5:29, I am sure. He said, this is how you'll come into every meeting this year. I am sure that when I come, I will come to you in the fullness of the blessing. Whoa! Of the gospel of Christ. My God. My God. We're already in session two. I'm serious. We clicked over. We just got to a place where, I mean, there's some things can happen now. There's some things can happen now. Hallelujah. 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 I see it in the Spirit. There's some things can happen now. Woo! Glory to God. So I'm just seeking the mind of God. You know, I got another scripture or two. Really wouldn't do well to just at least read them to, you know, to somehow latch down this thing where we started. But I see it in the Spirit. I see a scripture that I really need to read. This is what people don't know. The fullness of the blessing. How does it come? People don't even know what the blessing is. If I were to say to you in Genesis 1, it was the one word God used to describe everything Adam and Eve would need to dominate the planet. The Lord blessed them and said unto them. That means everything He said to them would happen by dominion is included inside that endowment of the blessing. When He, bam, when He blessed them, it came on them and empowered them to do everything else that's listed there. Do you see that? That means all the vast resources of the earth. That means to be fruitful, multiply, increase, subdue, have dominion. All of it's in there. To handle your seed properly. To dominate territory. It's all in that one word, blessing. And God restored it when He had a blood covenant with Abraham because Adam lost it. And when he lost that blessing, now, I know I've said this before. This really came from my wife. Now, she heard me preach for years about he had no clothes. He was clothed with the glory. But it dawned on her one day. God began to talk to her how carnal-minded people are. And he said, you know, because people always make fun when Eve was created. Who is this for me, you know, and all that? Because they're carnal. They don't realize Adam couldn't see her body. He wasn't attracted to her body. He was attracted to that glory coat because all of the animals in the known universe, none of them carried that capacity of the Spirit. She was the only being of all the universe he named that carried the same glory and the same image, and she was covered with it. He said, oh, this is the one that's in my class. The tigers aren't. The birds aren't. The fish aren't. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Yeah, he saw that glory. Well, that's what caused him to eat that fruit. Because he knew when she ate, it left. Mm-hmm. Now he saw her. And instead of being attracted to her body, he was repulsed by it because the glory left it. He now knows he's separated. She's uncovered. Sure is quiet in here. See, people have it backwards. Sin has done that. We're supposed to be clothed with the glory. It's the first thing God did is recover them. Right? And then he cut a covenant of blood with Abraham later to begin to restore the blessing. The blessing. The fullness of that blessing. And I just, boy, you're pulling tonight, sweetheart. Thank you so much. Just because of your faith, your pull, I'm going to read this verse. Everybody can listen in, okay? We're about to have a minute of church right here. It says in verse 5 of Ephesians 3, I'm going to read about four verses, okay? And I just want you to remember this the rest of your life, okay? Paul's writing to a whole church, and he said, even as Abraham believed God, actually verse 5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, and works miracles among you. How does he do it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Would you say that to me, hearing of faith? Yeah. So that's the subject, right? He said that's how the Spirit is administered. It's how miracles are worked by the hearing of faith. And what we see here is that miracles are a ministry of the Spirit. That's why so many people don't have miracles, because they don't know much about spiritual things. They think they're mysterious and way off, and it only happens when God wills. When the truth is, we have a covenant of miracles that are always available to receive, but because people don't know, they don't know how to access that blessing. Inside that blessing are all the miracles that are necessary to make your life whole. So if you ever have a mistake or a wreck in life or do something that you just, no, I shouldn't have done that, instead of running from God and trying to hide it, run to Him, run to Mom and Dad. He'll restore it just like that. He loves you so much. And so listen to these other verses. It says, even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture, seeing ahead of time that God would make righteous the nations through faith, He preached the good news to Abraham, saying, in you, Abraham, all the nations will be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you'll just learn how to use your faith, you get immediate access to the fullness of everything that's in the blessing. That's why people aren't blessed. They refuse to use their faith. They think the blessing is something that God's going to do and come on them. Like He's the one doling it out, like somebody playing cards around a table. No. The blessing is the fullness of everything that's been bought and paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and is immediately available right here, right now, to every human that's washed in that blood and calls the name of Jesus. So what would keep the blessing from manifesting? Not God not giving it. It's us not using our faith to receive it. He wanted me to make sure I made that connection before we got out of these meetings. If I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel and tell you that it's available, it doesn't mean that in every service, we're going to have some services where there's more manifestation than others. What governs that? Not God. Not the assignment, not the anointing we brought in here. Are you hearing me? Now, is there anybody in the house, through the preaching, your faith has been stirred, you sense you must come up to a different place, that I'm opening my heart to realize that I've let the world squeeze my vision of myself. I've let the world pare down the things that I'm expecting from God. It's time for me to rise up and start using my faith. Is there anybody in here that's seeing that right now? The just shall live by faith. That means his own faith. Every person in here has been dealt the measure of faith if you're born again. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So even if you hadn't heard the word on your own, you've heard enough word tonight to have some faith. The issue is not using what faith you don't have. It's using what faith you do have. It works like a seed. You see, that's the issue with most people. I don't have the faith you have. Well, that's like you saying, I don't have the muscles you have. Well, that's a lie. My muscles might be weaker or stronger than yours, depending on what I've done with them, but we all have them. And that's the deal with faith. It may be stronger or weaker, but you have the faith I have. Right? And if we had tomato seed and went out there and planted it, that seed would grow tomatoes for you or me, because the seed only knows to grow, and it is not a respecter of persons. And you have the seed of faith in you, and if you'll release it tonight, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of the anointed one and his anointing is immediately available. Glory be to God. I'm sure of it. I am so sure you're going home with it. Glory to God. I am absolutely double dog dare you, sure. I dare you to step out and believe God on this thing. Woo! Glory to God. Watch what God's going to do. Say, watch. You just watch what God's going to do. I double dog dare you to believe God.
Yeah.
Glory. All right. Anybody ready to make an adjustment?
Yeah.
Let's let Jeremiah 33, you know, we started there. Let's let Jeremiah 33 help us to make that adjustment. I want you to see what he says. Jeremiah 33:20. We're going to read that, and I'm going to read a verse out of Isaiah 60 where we started, and we're going to act on this thing. Are you with me? Get your faith set. Get ready. Glory to God. Jeremiah 33, look what it says. Let's read verse 20. Can you bring it up for me? Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day. That means that sun is shining. If you can keep the sun from coming up. Anybody here keep the sun from coming up? Anybody, huh? If you can break my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season. And let's just read on now. Please just flip with me. Then also will my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. My ministers. We are still in that lineage. Yes. This is an everlasting covenant. Right. Every preacher has this promise. Every preacher in the sound of my voice, everyone called to this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, seed of Abraham, and we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Glory be to God. We're in the finished work of this promise and this lineage, and you and all the ministers that are in your leadership, he is saying, I have an everlasting covenant with you over my church. I will build my church on a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I didn't call or anoint you to fail. I called you to succeed and prosper, and everything you put your hands to will prosper. I didn't call you to be afraid, but I called you to be courageous. I called you to put your foot on the ground, because I'm going to give you every place your foot goes. Glory be to God. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Glory be to God. So let's read on. Verse 22. The hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured. So I will multiply the seed of David my servant. I will multiply the seed of the Levites that minister to me. I will multiply the seed and the congregants and the members of every church, of every pastor that will take hold of this covenant.
Yes.
Next verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, consider not what you've been saying. You have said, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he's cast them off. And he's talking about Israel and Judah. They've been saying, the Lord has forsaken us. I don't understand why we don't see some of the things we used to see. Boy, our nation's gone to pot, and I don't know about these young people. That's what he said. He said, how about you consider what you've been saying? He said, you have said the Lord's cast us off. Where's the Lord? Why isn't it working? I don't understand. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Next verse. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and his army, the kings of the earth, fought against them, saying, all the cities thereof, saying, and then he tells them what's going to happen. He is saying, no matter what situation you're in, no matter where you find yourself geographically, no matter what king or army comes against you, you need to understand that if you can't keep the sun from coming up in the morning, then you can keep my word from coming to pass. But if you can't keep the word, the sun from coming up in the morning, how dare you say I've cast you off and hadn't accepted you? I will perform every miracle of mercy necessary in spite of you to bring my word to pass. My word is my covenant. And all you got to do is turn around and believe it, and I will rapidly restore you where you should have been all along.
Amen.
Glory. Wow.
Glory.
Glory.
So if I were you, I'd repent right now. I already have. When he gives me this and he talks to me this way, first thing I do is drop to my knees. Oh, God. I do like Job and just say, I did not understand the words that were coming out of my mouth. And I mean, say it as quick as you can get those words out. I darkened your counsel with words uttered without knowledge. I am dumb, like D-U-M, dumb. And if you will forgive me this time, I will not do that anymore. Lord, bless me.
Amen.
How dare I say it's your fault that I don't have what you promised me. The audacity of the pride of stiff-necked, carnal, natural churchgoers that think God hadn't done his word. Maybe I just need to get the worship team back up here and open the altar. That because I can't, you know, there's been a whole lot of Pentecostal folks laying empty hands on empty heads. And they're laying their hands on their heads till their hair's falling out and they're not getting anything. Because they're not doing any of this. They just think coming to church and going through some gyration is going to take it home with you. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad you're excited and you stood up and sat down and somebody might even be willing to run or pray or something. But you're not going home with us unless you use your faith. I'm telling you, the blessing of Abraham is totally dependent upon you opening up, repenting, quit blaming God, and start believing God, and say, you know what, that word works for me. Amen. I don't care what anybody says, I don't care what it looks like, I am not the exception. Jesus died for me, he shed his blood for me, and I will not look in the mirror and talk about myself and lie about the wonderful thing God has made.
Yeah.
Bind that spirit of rejection. I'll not be at war with myself. I will not yield myself to that spirit of depression. I will no longer say I'm weak. I will no longer say I'm tired. I will no longer say I can't. I'll no longer say I don't remember where I put that. I'll no longer say I don't know what to do. I'll no longer say I don't know when it's going to change. I'll no longer say, well, I know the Lord promised sometime. When am I going to be healed? Shut your lying mouth! You're killing yourself! Well, hallelujah. This is my home away from home.
Amen.
In the office of prophet, I do operate in this. Sometimes it gets pretty direct. But I'm telling you, something's happening here. We're doing some surgery. We're going to wash out that filthy infection.
Amen.
So your good, healthy flesh can grow back from the inside out.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know what I did during COVID? I went to Lowe's and took a picture of all those people going in that store. When they were trying to shut the church down and everything, and I knew the mayor, I took a picture of the hundreds of people. I mean, they're just going in, coming out, going in and coming out. And I sent it. I sent a video. I said, now, and I sent it to the mayor. I said, look at this. I didn't send it to him. I said, look, I went to Lowe's. I told him, I said, I was sitting out there. I watched him for about 30, 45 minutes. It was just incessant. And I said, they ain't going to get COVID coming to church. They can bring COVID to church from Lowe's.
Right.
If you're going to shut something down, shut Lowe's down and open the church up. But the church is so scared.
Yeah.
They bought into that mess. Well, I got to go to Walmart, but I got to stay away from church. You're a fool. I mean, I love you, but you're a fool. Buying into that demonic lie. Since when does age have anything to do with susceptibility to disease? Last time I checked, Abraham was 100 when he had that baby. I'm just trying to take your brain out, wash it off, and put it back.
Wash it good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because we're the product of our own misery.
Mm-hmm.
It's time we get out of our own way. Now, I'm going to read Isaiah 60, and I'm done. Because I'm telling you, by the time I do get done, who knows? Somebody said, stick a fork in him. He's done a long time ago. Glory to God. But this comes up in me, so I'm going to say it. It seems fitting, and so I'm going to say it because it flushes up in my spirit. I was in the DFW airport, and I was flying in a commercial flight that day, and I'm going through, you know, a busy hub, people going down, they're trying to catch flights. And so I'm going through to get a coffee drink. And so I got one. Well, it's a tight space, and people are pulling rolling bags and carry-ons, and, you know, and so you can get the picture, right? So there's a man standing there, and it's tight, and you got that place where you get your drink, and then they got the milk and the creamer and all that, so it's all tight, and everybody's trying to fix their stuff. And so a guy comes up behind me. I didn't know he was there, and I turned around and said, oh, I said, excuse me, am I in your way? His immediate comment was this, hallelujah. If that thing goes off the second time, it's time to stop. Glory. His immediate response to me, Jay, was this. He said, no, you're not in my way. He said, I seem to be in my own way, and I'm really good at that. Well, you might get a ha-ha, but that's all you're going to get out of that. Mm-hmm. Except you're going to find yourself in trouble all the time. You know, this is the first hotel I've stayed in today. I went to the room and the card key didn't work. The first hotel I've stayed in years, ever, years. I'm talking about years now, where my key didn't work in the door. First thing came out of my mouth when I put that key in the door was this. I said, my keys always work. That ain't right. My keys work every time. See, I don't make 4 or 5 trips after a late night preaching and praying for 100 of folk and dog tired lugging stuff up and back to the room, have to go back down and get my keys rekeyed. Well, I was doing that all the time. I was talking to the Lord about it. And he just replayed it. He just replayed my words. I'd always get 2 keys. I still do for a couple of reasons, obviously. But, you know, some of that is you don't want to misplace one and all those kind of things, which I don't do. But I said, I used to get 2 keys for the purpose, because they just, you put them by something and they wouldn't work. And the Lord said, not only do you believe they're not going to work, you're acting on it. He said, you're saying it all the time. And it would always not work after I'd prayed for about 300 or 400 or 500 people in the prayer line, and they're throwing me in the room like a soggy biscuit, and it won't work. And I'm sitting there, and I've got to go back down and get it rekeyed. And the Lord said, and they're not going to work as long as you keep saying that. And I mean, it just flipped like a switch. I said, oh, yeah, well, my keys always work. Am I helping anybody? It's like the rudder on a ship. Like a bridle in a horse's mouth. You can turn the whole horse around. Anybody need something to be turned around? All right, well, let's read Isaiah 60. I'm going to keep my word to you. We're done with this. Hallelujah. Say the fullness of the blessing. I thought I'd get further into the glory, but I'm just telling you, this is the doorway to it. Because the first thing when you see the glory, the first thing God's going to deal with is that. Because Isaiah saw it. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth full of His glory. Huh? And the Lord said, who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I serve in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And that angel flew over to the altar and with tongs got a coal off that altar and flew to him with those 6 wings and touched his lips. Then he said, here am I. Send me. The glory, first thing God's going to deal with you is keeping you out of the glory is what you're saying. This is big. So yeah, I came to preach about the glory, and whether you know it or not, I have been. I've been preaching about the doorway in there. Glory to God. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Let's read through verse 5. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen. Say, His glory shall be seen. Say it again.
His glory shall be seen.
One more time.
His glory shall be seen.
Upon who?
On me.
You mind if I read you 2 call-ins from our 21 Days of Glory when we went nationwide on DirecTV? I'm going to read you. This is Hilda from Arizona. She called in and said, while Pastor Tracy was preaching, She said everything she was asking the Lord about was answered. Now, I'm preaching from Naples, Florida, and she's in Arizona. She said everything she was asking the Lord about was answered, and everything she was reading in the Word came alive. As Pastor Tracy got deeper into the Word, his face became white. And she thought it was the TV lights, but then realized it was the glory of God all over him as he spoke the Word of God. Like a white mask, God's glory as he was speaking, the anointing was so thick it came in my house. She said, I'm so thankful and grateful for these services. I'm sending it all of my family, telling you have to watch. The glory of the Lord is coming off the screen. Wow. Now, listen to what it says. Now, didn't know this call came in the same night. You know, the phone's ringing or whatever. There was a lady who said, just now got a call from a lady named Gloria. Gave her last name. She is from Seattle, Washington. And she called to testify about seeing the glory of God on Pastor Tracy's face, like that other lady did. And then the glory of God filled her home strong. I've been serving the Lord for a very long time. I know the glory, she said. The glory is in my home and all over his face, and I can see it. Thank you so much for this network. This is what America has needed. I'm talking about the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. I said the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. I said the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. Get up. The Amplified says get up out of the prostration and the circumstances in which depression has bound you. Rise to a new life. Glory be to God. Tonight is a standing up. Tonight is a raising up. Tonight is a restoration night. Tonight is an impartation night. Tonight is a glory night. The Lord wants you to walk in the fullness of the blessing. He wants the glory to shine on you in your pulpit. He wants the glory. He wants you to walk in a place where somebody's been to rehab 10 times and they just can't come in. I said, I can't do that again. I'm going to kill myself. And suddenly you look like an angel. And bam, that demon leaves them. Where did that come from? Rise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. Do you not understand? Greater is he that's on the inside of you. Glory be to God. And here's what it says in the Amplified Classic by verse 5. This is the point that I'm believing to happen tonight for everybody in the sound of my voice. Verse 4 says, lift up your eyes round about you and see. So start looking around now. The Lord has said it. You saw it when I was speaking. They're coming. Somebody said they're coming.
They're coming.
Look what it says. Lift up your eyes round about you. Look. They're all gathering themselves together. They're coming to you. Your sons are coming from afar. Your daughters are going to be carried home and nursed in your arms. The glory of God's coming on you. Look at verse 5 now. This is the last verse. Take it to heart. Then you shall see, and you will be radiant. Your heart will thrill and tremble with joy. The King James says it will be enlarged. So does this. Your heart will thrill. There's that miracle anointing. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I obeyed God and didn't quit. He just moved in the room. Whoa, the miracle anointing just came in the room. Time for your heart to thrill and be radiant and be enlarged. Time for your life to change. Big things in front of you, son. There's nothing you can't do. As long as you stay before God and honor him with your gift, he will open doors for a platform that are beyond your imagination. He does not mind you pursuing the desires of your heart as long as you use those desires to glorify him. And if you will do that, he will allow you to use that as a platform. Stand up. I don't know much about you, but I can tell you this. About 6 years ago, and you need to hear this, son, because I'm coming right back. About 6 years ago, I called a young man out, and he was 11 years old or 12 years old. And I didn't know the child. He's like 11 or 12. I call him out. I say, I see the Spirit of God all over you, and I see that you have a great desire athletically, and you're gifted athletically. If you'll honor God with your gift, I laid hands on him. Spirit of the Lord is going to, I just got a call on National Signing Day. He lives in Lubbock. I was preaching in Lubbock. Texas Tech just signed him. 6 years later, that prophecy came to pass. And He literally didn't announce it for 30 days. He said, sorry, everybody. I've been off social media for a 30-day social media fast, but my dreams have come true. I did, well, everybody already knew 30 days before he signed with Texas Tech because it all came out. But he wasn't about to break that fast. He won many of his team members to the Lord as a senior in high school. And the Lord said, if you'll use this platform for my glory, I will make your dreams come true.
Whoa.
And that's who he wanted to play for.
Whoa.
Throw your hands up. I see something on you. There's an anointing. Now, the world will make a play, but you don't have to go the world's way. Trust me, I've had enough athletics in my background. My son played college football. All of my kids had scholarship offers. In our family, there's, you know, NFL folk and all that. The point I'm trying to make is I've seen it work and not work. And I've seen the spirit of it, which is demonic, that will be political and competitive and drive you and try to drive you with fear and berate you to get you to do better and all of that. You're not going to succumb to any of that.
Amen.
We bind and break the demon powers that would ever influence your life in a coach or a mentor situation or anybody around you. We say you'll have favor all the days of your life. Hallelujah. I just see athletics all over you. I see the Spirit of God wanting to use you, and I see it being a dream in your heart. Am I right about that? Well, then you just open your heart because great things are on the way. But it is not instead of the ministry, it's a part of the ministry if you'll integrate it and you'll allow it to be. But don't make it your source. Play it for fun. It's just a game. Life is for keeps. So raise your voice and watch God do great and mighty things. Oh, there's the anointing right there. Whoa. Whoa. There's the power of God, son. Glory to God. Now from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Oh, there it is right there. Cause his dream. There it is right there. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying, learn more. Tonight, I pierced your heart, saith the Lord. You thought, understanding spiritual things. You've been stuck on that all night since that was said. And you thought, I want to know about spiritual things. There it is right there. I want to learn about those things. Well, what's coming in you now is that. What's coming in you now, that anointing that's coming in you now, even power. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Everything in the kingdom must be received. It doesn't just come. Even power must be received. You must learn how by faith to let it go all the way in. You'll know the right time. Meekness is not weakness. You'll know the right time to be strong and ruthless against your opponent or the enemy. But always be tender before me, my son. Others would see it as weak. I see it as meek, and the meek shall inherit the earth. And there'll be something in you that will cause you to rise. So receive it this night, because the spirit of might is going to cause you to come into the light. And others will take notice and they will see that I have anointed the gifts that I put within thee. There it went right there. There it went right there. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He says, arise and shine. Your heart's going to be thrilled and enlarged at the glorious deliverances. The camels are coming. The abundance of the sea, the wealth of the nations, he said, is coming. Tonight there's an anointing to totally destroy lack. It was on me so strong when I walked in the room, I thought I might be preaching on the hundredfold. It's that strong. There are some supernatural provisional miracles that are at hand.
Amen.
And he's telling me some of you have relaxed believing him for these. It's time now to rise and get serious about placing a demand on the supply of the covenant.
Amen.
The word's going to create this supply.
Amen.
Glory to God. It's going to restore these foundations. I see it in the spirit. Glory be to God. My. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. The power of God's here very strong. We need to know exactly how to handle this. Praise the Lord. Can we move this? Paradeshte. Grida mayenema kustanaya. Merenem brandigile frediste ala. Ranemede ketu karadabayeston. Marende bareninde kalianda brasta kaleste. Yesa makutu fia shungla frishti. I heard your heart cry out. I saw it. And I heard the Lord say, look at me, honey. I heard the Lord say, yes, there's yes. Don't touch her. Yes, there's something for you too. There it went right there. There it is right there. There it is right there. He's going to take care of the things that you've struggled with. There's the deliverance right there. You've struggled. I see some struggling. There's things you've struggled within yourself that you've never voiced to anyone. Satan has assaulted you in your mind, tormented you about certain things concerning yourself. But tonight, yes, leave. Woo, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Who's related to her right here? Look at me. Throw your hands up. Ha! Comes off the family in every way. Hallelujah. You related to them? No? Okay. You just supporting them, huh? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Comes off. In the name of Jesus, the entire family line. The entire family line. Do you hear me? Glory be to God. It's off and off for good and off forever. I bind and break the roots and the power of anything that's come against you in the arena of rejection. And in Jesus' name, come off of them. They will not succumb to that. They will arise and enlarge their heart and believe you're enlarging their territory. They are never going to be the same. Glory be to God. 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 Well, I might as well start with you. Come here. Praise the Lord. Anybody that needs prayer tonight in these arenas, I see it in my spirit. Any arena of restoration, you know some things have been stolen. You need restoration of time. You need restoration of finances, restoration of relationship. Whatever the case may be, restoration is coming in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Restoration is coming in bodies. Restoration is coming in favor and relationships. Restoration is coming in families. Restoration is coming in finances. Supernatural acceleration and the miraculous manifestation of what you've been believing God for a long time. I'm telling you, there is coming a separation in 2024. I heard it by the Holy Ghost. I couldn't go that way, didn't preach on this tonight, but the Lord said to me, 2024 will be a year of great separation. He said, you will rise and rise and rise and rise till people shall see, literally, that there's a separation of exaltation. He's going to vindicate and restore and put you in a place to where people, they're just hopeless to contain you anymore. Glory to God. Others are going to go the other way. They're going to spiral down like a vortex in a drain because of the choices they've made. They're going to come apart like a $2 watch. So right in the middle of this, there's going to, all seeds are coming to harvest and quickly. So don't be moved by things that you thought people were just fine. You understand, Jesus took that. If you've lost favor, if you've faced anything to where you feel like, you know, we took a hit there. The way people see us, they view us, the restoration's needed. Remember this, Jesus was on top of the world. He literally was the number one figure, followed around by 25 to 50,000 people everywhere he went. Within 7 days, he was humiliated, despised, put on trial, exposed. Nobody's ever been canceled like Jesus. He took that rejection. He destroyed the spirit that drives cancel culture. And in 3 days, in less than 72 hours, he got it all back. Are you listening to me? Stuff's coming back. Vindication. Resurrection. Restoration. And he paid the price for it. Hallelujah. Now, if you have a family member or anybody else that's struggling with something that came earlier in the service, when I ministered to this gentleman about drug addiction and alcoholism and all of those things, I saw that in the Word today. And the Lord literally said to me, I refused that drink. I refused that drug to numb this thing. Meaning I paid the price for people to be able to walk free from that and not put it in their body. Glory be to God. And he took the pain of the trauma. That means he took the withdrawal symptoms. He took the DTs. He took everything. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He took everything. Therefore, if he took it, we don't have it. That means there is recovery. Lay hands on the sick and they recover. That means anything in your body on any level of degeneration is about to be regenerated by the very life of God that's coming in your body at this altar. Tonight, whoa, glory to God, we are not leaving the same. There it is right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I just heard the Lord say, when she took my hand, 100%. Ha! Like it never happened. Ha! Like it never happened. Hey! Like it never happened in the name. Ha! In the name. Like it never happened. Ha! In the name of Jesus. Like it never happened, to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Come back from that setback. In the name. I'm telling you, it's time for you to walk up higher. He's got higher rungs in prosperity, higher rungs in the anointing, higher rungs in the glory, higher places, sights to see, gifts to walk in, visions and dreams. So it seems many places for you to go. Get ready for an increased flow. Glory to God. Glory in the name, like it never happened, like it never happened in the name. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, like it never happened. Woo! Like it, oh, that went right there. Whoa! Woo! Like it never happened. There it is, Archie, like it never happened. Glory to God. Oh, it's your night. Like it never happened. Yeah, there it went. Whoa! Ha! Like it never happened. Ricky, like it never happened in the name of Jesus. Like it never happened. I said, like it never happened. In the name. Woo! Whoa! Whoa! Like it never happened. In the name of Jesus. Like it never happened ever. In the name. Like it never happened. Like it never happened. You started last night and he's finishing it tonight. Yeah. Whoa! Like it never happened. Glory. Like it never happened. Woo! In the name of Jesus. I decree over this church that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I say your mouth is satisfied with good things. Glory be to God. And by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare foundations be restored now. Paths be restored now. Arise and shine. Your light has come and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon you.
Wow.
Now give the Lord a shout in the house. Hallelujah. Brother Jimmy, I'm turning it over to you. You might want to grab a microphone here. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you for being our partner. A lot of times folks say, well, what's the number one thing you need? And the truth is, we need partners. Partnership is the way the covenant works. Not only, and we're able to believe God for big lump sums. We've had so many financial miracles. That angel flew off and he didn't just get the network. He has brought into our hands what was needed. I'm talking about, if I told you the miracles, you'd say, oh, you'd be like Gomer Pyle. Golly, Shazam. But the biggest thing we need right now is we got to get ahead of this thing. Hallelujah. So we not only need those lump sums, both, but we need consistent monthly people that want to attach to getting revelation knowledge reproduced around the world. This does not happen by ourselves. And the doors are opening. Glory to God. And I want to read this to you to close. So come here, Brother Jimmy, if you don't mind. I want you to see this. You know these verses. But since we've been preaching on it all night, it says, when they got in the church at Corinth, they said, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I like Cephas or Peter. And he said, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? I couldn't even talk to you like spiritual people. He said, is there not cliques and envying and you choosing favorite preachers? And he said, do you not understand that no man should glory in men, all things are yours? How many things?
All things.
Look what he says. Mm-hmm. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world.
Yep. Our life.
The world.
Praise God.
The world has been bought and paid for. It's already yours. Or life, or death, things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Now, I'm going to say something here that folks are going to lay awake chewing on this one. He's got death in that list. Mm-hmm. The devil can't kill you. God won't. Death is actually the possession of the believer. Maybe I need to talk to you about that some other time. We have the keys.
We have the keys. We have the keys. Oh, my goodness.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
I love you. Thank you all so much for the freedom.
For the freedom and
the utterance.
All of you being here and pulling.
No constraints.
Right.
God was able to do some things.
Yes, he was. And we needed it. We need to hear it. I know every pastor could say yes and amen to that 10 times. Things were said tonight that we had a glimpse of, but we couldn't figure it out. But praise God, we have it now. And glory to God. Would you ever this be on podcast? Okay, podcast. I'd go to Faith Outreach, Oklahoma. .com Faith Outreach, Oklahoma. Okay. So, and look to the podcast. This will be all on there. So, praise God, y'all. And I tell you what, it's been wonderful, but it has been very wonderful to see Jimmy and Cora Jones here tonight. But we've been standing in the gap. And I know everybody has. We love you guys. Hallelujah. And all of you, y'all are the best. Well, I just want to say, let's just receive everything God has for us tonight. And let the Holy Spirit sort this out in our minds, in our hearts, and get on the podcast, listen to all this, and then apply by faith everything that belongs to us. Okay? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so thankful for the man of God who told us things this week that we needed to hear. Perhaps ministry saving, the determination not to quit or to slack off. But Lord, I am running headlong into the Spirit of God. Of increase and fullness. The blessings of God. I'm running headlong into it. And I know everybody in this room is with me. Lord God, we have much to do. We're going to love God. We're going to love each other. And we're going to have a good time doing all this. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, dismiss us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for protecting all of us as we return home. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Be sure and tell somebody you love them. If you don't know somebody, go greet them. And we do have some food for those of you that are traveling and you don't have somewhere like a home to go to, whatever, next door. So make yourself